Yes, welcome back into the Auburn Daily Show. I am Harrison Tarr, joined today by Dylan Lark, both of the Auburn Daily, both of the College Loop. We are coming to you guys. This is the Wednesday episode for the week. We are recording this on Tuesday night, immediately following Auburn's loss on the road in men's basketball to Texas A&M. Texas A&M completed the sweep over Auburn on Tuesday evening. Final score of that ball game was 83-78 in a game that it felt like this was going to be a get-right game for Auburn, Dylan, and an opportunity to get back on track and to get back on their best foot, put their best foot forward. And in large, there are a lot of good things that Auburn did in this game. But ultimately, you come out on the wrong side of this one in what would have been a quad one road win, and you're losers of four of your last five. And I'm curious, just initial reaction here, Dylan. I know that you said that you had a couple of matters to tend to during the fourth quarter, which is completely fine, but you did catch the end. For those of you who, I guess, been living under a rock and decided to listen to the Auburn Daily Show, even though the thumbnail clearly says men's basketball postgame wrap-up, and I know Zach Blackerby's doing his live reaction right now. I'll be interested to go back and rewatch that one, Dylan. The game was decided on a number of factors, and we'll deep dive into those after your initial reaction as to the caliber of this loss. And you and I coined it on the College Loop. Auburn ran into the buzzsaw again, Buzz Williams.
Yeah, and Auburn ran face first into that buzzsaw, because if you look back at the Tennessee game, the offense was greatly improved, but that probably has something to do with the fact that this is not as great as a defense as what Tennessee has. But you still look at the game and you're like, what was going on in the last 3 minutes of the game? You're down two, and I believe there was 3 minutes left on the clock. Like, you had time, and Wendell Green just throws up a three, just like you were down two, and it was like a tournament game, and you're just trying to end it there. But yeah, it was a lot of questionable coaching decisions. I don't know where to go from here. I mean, we're going to talk about it later on, but
do you want to go ahead and state the obvious? So this is the most shockingly, we can talk about a game after that Tennessee game we watched that was not even in the same ballpark as that Tennessee game in terms of horrific officiating. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think it necessarily killed Auburn in the second half as much as it certainly did in the first half. And I'm not one to get on hashtag on here and talk about hashtag the refs trademark. But in the first half, Auburn had built a 9-point lead. They had a run going, and it felt like they were a bucket away from blowing this one open, right? It felt like, you know, this one, Auburn's going to put A&M soundly in the rearview mirror. This is going to be a good bounce back and opportunity. And then you see chirpy little technical fouls. Alan Flanagan called for blowing a kiss to the other team, which I don't even know how you interpret that. I suppose it was directed at the bench. It was a soft technical. You see Dylan Cardwell, Jani Broome in foul trouble all night. Jani Broome fouled out just under a minute left, or right there around that mark, on a soft foul call. The first half, and I mean, I hate to be like this, because certainly in the second half, Texas A&M was the victim of whistle-happy refs as well, and let's keep that in mind. But tonight was welcome to the ref show. Or I guess Tuesday night, rather, now that this is airing on Wednesday, but it was welcome to the ref show. And I fully anticipate in Auburn and Texas A&M alike, for that matter, should demand some explanations from the league office. This was horrific. And there's a lot left to be desired from the officiating standpoint. I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. Let's talk a little bit about Wendell Green Jr. Dylan. My apologies. We talk so much on the air with different people at this point, Dylan, that I just forget where I am at. And I don't even know where I'm at right now in real life. Maybe I'm in Macon. Maybe I'm not. Maybe it's all my headcanon. But Wendell Green Jr. had a good night, man. I mean, 8 of 18 from the field. One of three from three-point line. But he kept Auburn in the game, ultimately wound up with 20, really about 18 of those counted in terms of like really mattering. He kept Auburn in the game time in, time out, and regardless of whether or not he was outsized, I thought he did a great job playing against bigger guards, maybe not so much on the defensive end of the floor, but getting to the rim and taking the ball to the rack and making big buckets for Auburn. And then he steps up with just over 30 seconds left on the shot clock, down two, and you'd shoot a three with just over 30 seconds on the game clock. And shoots a three down two with almost half the shot clock left. And you're like, man, you shot your way all the way back into it, and then you shot yourself clean out of it. And that's one of those head-scratching moments, right, Dylan?
Yeah, and it's a head-scratching moment we've seen time and time again over the past few games. Auburn is 1-4 in the last five games that we've watched them play. And, I mean, Auburn didn't get a, I guess, positive back-to-back games where Auburn didn't give up 25 points to an opposing guard, but gave up 22 points to Wade Taylor the fourth, and you gave, what's his first name? Jay Marble. I'm looking at his thing. Julius Marble. Gave him a career night with 20 points and 7 rebounds. I mean, it's hard to win when two guys have, not career highs, but pretty high scoring games. You can't really win when two leading scorers are 22 and 20.
But I'm going to kind of spin zone this for a second here, Dylan, and I'm not trying to, you know, be a defender here. You held Boots Radford to 10. And that's been Texas A&M's go-to guy all year. He's been a microwave. I thought Auburn did that well. I thought the guards didn't play horrifically bad. And there was a new set that I even texted you about in the first half that we hadn't seen with Wendell Green Jr. playing a true shooting guard position and bringing Trey Donaldson in. And I thought that was encouraging. I was a little confused as to where that was in the late game, since given Trey really wasn't in trouble. You saw increased minutes for Zepp, sure. And a little bit decreased from KD in the second half. I'd just have to go back and look at the box half by half. But this new set with Trey Donaldson running the one and Wendell Green Jr. running the two. Auburn fans, if you're looking for something that's a positive spin zone out of this game, first off, you didn't get blown out and you were in it the entire game. That's a given. And like I said, I thought limiting Boots Radford, which by the way, Boots Radford is an incredible nickname. That's just such a good one that Buzz gave him. That's all I want to say on that topic. But I thought that if you look at Bruce Pearl kind of saying, okay, we don't have a tall guard, but we have bigger guards. Let's see how that works with Trey running the one, because Trey can handle the ball, right? He can kind of shoot a little bit and kind of get to the rack and plays good defense, and let Wendell Green Jr. be a true two guard. I liked that set, Dylan. Thoughts?
I do too, because Trey Donaldson does have the size out of any of the other two guards. And you need that in today's world. That's why we've been so high and mighty about getting LeBaire and Phylon on the plane sooner rather than later.
Right.
My thing with Trey Donaldson is, as good as he has been at facilitating, he's just not a scorer. And it's hard to say that anyone on the bench really is a scorer. I mean, that's what I'm looking at, 10 combined points for the bench. And you look at that compared to the 22 points from Texas A&M's bench.
Right.
So there's just no one reliable on the bench for scoring for Auburn. I mean, Johan Traor just got in for two personal fouls. Simo had a rebound, a turnover, and two fouls. Dylan Cardwell, four fouls, and you said he got a tech?
No. Dylan was not teed up. Alan Flanagan was teed up.
Okay, Alan Flanagan was teed up. Cardwell, 2 points. Donaldson, zero. Leor got three, and Katie Johnson had five, which we can say it's a little bit of a disappointing game based on the last 2.5 games we've seen from Katie Johnson.
Sure.
I mean, it looks down the stretch. We talk about the gauntlet going on, but, I mean, yeah, the refs haven't been on Auburn's side most of the time. Yeah, the other teams have taller guards than we do, but, I mean, our bench is just not consistent of consistent scorers.
I don't think you're incorrect there, Dylan. And like I said, I don't want to harp on the officiating too much. I really don't like pointing blame at officials. Ultimately, if you leave the game in the officials' hands, you know, I've said this a million times on the College Loop, you don't deserve to win the game. I feel that. It's a chance at that point. Flip a coin and decide who you're going to win, who's going to win this game. But Johan Traor only gets into this game because the other two bigs for Auburn are in foul trouble. Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell. I mean, Dylan Cardwell ended the night with four fouls. You would have played another 30 to 45 seconds of real basketball where you're not just fouling and hoping they miss. Dylan Cardwell probably fouls out too. The bigs got in foul trouble early. Johan just has not been consistent enough off the bench. Now we could talk for a million different directions here about where we believe that maybe Johan should have been plugged in some different places to be more prepared for that situation. But at that point, that's water under the bridge, right, where we're at now and where Bruce Pearl and company are at now. And that's important to keep in mind. But overall, I mean, this is not a detrimental loss, but Dylan, there are some long-term implications you kind of hinted at just a minute ago, and I want to talk about them right here on the Auburn Daily podcast. But that, before we do that, I'm going to get into one of our sponsors this season. Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. That's absolutely clutch, by the way, Dylan. Best of all, use promo code Auburn, that's A-U-B-U-R-N, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, A-U-B-U-R-N, for double your first deposit. This college basketball season and pro basketball season for you pro basketball junkies, win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily using promo code A-U-B-U-R-N. All right, we're back into Auburn basketball, talking about it right here on the Auburn Daily podcast. I'm Harrison Tarjo with Dylan Lark. We're talking about long-term, and we hinted about it before the commercial break, if you will. And this is just thank you for bearing with my cringe moment there, because I completely had a mental lapse. But it's all about the recovery, right, in this industry. As long as you can fake it till you make it, right? I've been doing it for years. Anyways, let's talk about Auburn's still very much in the middle of this gauntlet that you and I have discussed time and time again, Dylan. And there's it sure doesn't get easier on Saturday. When you've got Alabama coming to town under the bright lights that is College Game Day, and all national attention will be turned to you for at least the morning slot, and you've got a guy who's pretty good at playing basketball that wears crimson, and you got to play him twice, and then guess what? Your reward for losing to Tennessee on the road is you get to play him again, and then you have to head to Rupp. Dylan, this schedule doesn't get easier. That's a given. Is it time to start talking to your kids about the possibility that Auburn cannot make the NCAA tournament?
I mean, it's a reality that we're all too scared to actually, like, want to believe could happen. But it's a reality that's inching ever so closely, because the way Auburn has played these last 5 games. Yeah, the Georgia game we all saw as a building block. We were like, okay, yeah, Auburn's finally figuring it out. And they gave us the Tennessee game after that. And then tonight happened. And then you look ahead, yeah, Bama twice. If Auburn doesn't, I can't even like say if Auburn fixes what they're. I don't want to chalk it up as a loss right now, but right now I can't guarantee that Auburn even has a chance to win those 2 Bama games. Missouri is a tournament team who has been playing way better than Auburn has.
Sure.
You look down the stretch, you hope Ole Miss is a winnable game, just because you don't know with this team anymore. Sure. They were showing some level of consistency, lost it with A&M, and it looks like they had gained it back with Georgia. And then it just looks like down the stretch, Auburn, like you said, could very well just end up playing themselves out of the NCAA tournament. And, I mean, NIT, here we come, if that doesn't happen.
I think that Auburn's probably safe. Given that you win the games you have to win, being the bare minimum being Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. But I mean, if Auburn messes around and you know, that meme, the mess around and find out, this is, I don't think we can use the actual verbiage on the Auburn Daily Show, but verbal meme. If Auburn messes around and find out, they may find out on about a 10 that if they don't perform well down the stretch, and if you don't win a game in the SEC tournament, I mean, shoot, man, you could really be playing host to an electrifying NIT game. That really could be the case. We spoke to Jacob Goins of ESPN 106.7 on the line last week on our show, The College Loop. Now, if you follow that lineage, congratulations. You followed a very long trail of different outlets, names, and people. So I'm really proud of you to our listeners and viewers here at the Auburn Daily. But we spoke to Jacob Goins about this team fixing itself. And you talked about that, saying, you know, Auburn needs to fix itself. There are things that it needs to work on. It's February, and Jacob Goins said this. At this point, I think this team, and not to just copy and paste what Goins said, but I think they just kind of are who they are. And for better or for worse, right, through the mountain peaks and the valleys, the deepest of valleys, because those lows are low. I don't know that there's rotationally anything you can fix. You can't fix shooters in February. You almost just have to hope you get hot at the right time in March. And truth be told with you, Dylan, you need some help. Whether that be other teams making mistakes. And then obviously you want to force teams like a Kentucky, like an Alabama into a mistake. By the way, just a little tidbit. If you split that series with Alabama, that's a saving grace. You're in the NCAA tournament, period. I don't even know if that's possible, just being honest. But if you obviously want these teams, that like your Tennessees, your Kentuckys, your Alabamas, to make mistakes and beat up on themselves on a routine basis. But now you're almost kind of banking on it, right? Like the other teams getting into foul trouble and just being cold from the line, right? You almost need help now.
Yeah, the best defense you can have right now is staying in the tournament is other teams being – or some poor playing from other teams. Just because, yeah, Auburn, there might not be able to be a way to fix anything that Auburn has going on right now. And you probably won't be able to fix anything into the offseason just because there's not a – outside of Wendell Green and Flanagan, there's not reliable – well, and outside – Jalen Williams as well. There's not reliable scores on
– Jibram.
And Jedi Broom, sorry. I'm too fixated on the bench points. Just because you can't the best teams have are those bench players who can come on and put up points for the starters, sure. So they don't have to.
Sure.
And that's why we haven't seen Gonzaga win anything as of late, because they go six deep and that's as far as they go. And Auburn, they're four deep right now in terms of scorers, and you can't win basketball games like that. And you see down the stretch of in games, whenever they need it, they don't have, we say it all the time, BP is not the greatest X's and O's coach. And this team needs a great X's and O's coach if they want to win games down the stretch.
Yeah. It starts with coaching, but I think a lot of it has to do with shooting, Dylan, and it's just not there. I mean, look at Auburn's performance tonight from the freaking free throw line. What is it? 9 of 14. I mean, you didn't get to the line enough, but two, Auburn struggled getting free points. It's literally in the name, free throw, throughout the duration of the 2022-23 campaign. And that's kind of indicative of the fact that this team's just not good at shooting. There is not a guy that, you know, I guess you can kind of say Wendell Green Jr., but outside of Wendell Green, who's really not played to the shooting capacity that we think he's capable of doing. There's not a guy where you're like, feed him, eventually he'll hit, right? Jalen Williams has been streaky. Alan Flanagan has the ugliest jump shot I have ever seen, and he still drains some every here and again, here and now. Thank you. Hello, English. And your boy Lior Berman can kind of shoot the ball, but he's not seen the minutes because I know you'll defend him. His defense has taken a step back as of late, and that's just a fact.
I mean, you can argue the entire team is taking a giant step back.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. There's a lot of concerning factors for Auburn fans, but I want to pivot for a second and let sunshine pump for a minute and talk about how important it is. Just if you can get to the dance, 95% of the time, it's not the best team that wins the national championship. It's the hottest team. Maybe there's an off chance that some of these guys that we've seen that can kind of stroke the three every now and again, right? They can catch fire, hit a couple in a game here and there. Maybe you can have the stars line come the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. And if you're going to pick a time to be hot, that's the time to be hot as opposed to the regular season. And this is not just me, like I said, sunshine pumping or making excuses. This is the spin zone, right? That there's also, you keep looking around, you're like, this team, it feels like it has the pieces, Dylan.
The defense side of the ball is there for this team. Like, you have those players like Zeb Jasper and KD Johnson, Jedi Broom, Dylan Cardwell, sometimes, who are able to shut down players that they're guarding. And yeah, the shooting has been piss poor at best at most of the time and most of the season.
Sure, absolutely.
And you look at it and you see Zeb Jasper, who we've all said is not the offensive presence that we would like him to be, but he was second on the team in three-pointers made tonight. That can't happen if Auburn wants to win a game with their offense.
Hot take, because I'd like to see Zep shoot the ball a little more, but carry on.
I would like to see him shoot it more, but when you look down, this team does not rely on Zep Jasper to shoot the ball. When Wendell Green and Alan Flanagan are only making one of their threes, and it's not a good look. And when you look at the bench, they shot 2 of 6 from the three on the bench. Zeb Jasper, I think, is one of those players that you can probably see get a little streaky, but he's so defensively oriented. Like, you won't see him take more shots. He took 6 shots tonight and he made 2 threes. And that's about as far as you get with him. He just won't shoot the ball. You talk about with Jay Will all the time. He doesn't show the confidence to shoot the ball when he knows he can make it. You don't get that from Zeb Jasper. And then you probably said the same thing about Trey Donaldson. He shot 3 shots tonight. And I mean, I would like to see more from Trey Donaldson on the shooting side to kind of give me confidence that, I mean, you hope and pray that Auburn can get hot down the stretch and go into March on a streak. But this offense is not streaky. There's nothing flashy about this offense to where you can sit down and think, well, maybe this team could get hot at the right time. But who would you look towards to get hot that would get Auburn winning games? I mean, we've seen when Wendell Green and Jani Broome are both hot, 20 and 18 points between for the two of them, Auburn still lost a game by 5.
Sure.
You just need other players to step up, and you want to rely on Wendell Green and Jani Broome all the time, but some games they just can't do it all, and you just never know which player is going to play how well or how poor they're going to play at any given night.
I mean, that's applicable at any level of the league, and I think you bring up a good point, Dylan, and I appreciate you pointing that out for now. Thank you for talking hoops with me, Dylan. It's always a pleasure. I will see you probably about the same time tomorrow night to check us out on the College Loop. So I'll let you go ahead and plug, and then I'll get us on out of here. What do you say?
Works for me. I'm Dylan Lark at your boy the Tank on Twitter. That is at YABOI the Tank. You guys catch me on the College Loop podcast. Comes out every Tuesday and Thursday. Follow us on College Loop
and Sunday.
Almost forgot Sunday. Can't forget Sunday. But yeah, follow us at the College Loop everywhere except for MySpace. That is Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the works. And with that being said, Tar.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the little segue there, Dylan. I feel like I'm really specially loved here at the Auburn Daily. I really do. I'm Harrison Tar at by Harrison Tar on Twitter. You can find my written work at theauburndaily.com alongside some of the best writers in the business and on the Auburn beat. You can also catch me on the College Loop podcast. Like Dylan said, that's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And we've got some exciting stuff coming up over on there. You might say we're bringing the heat sometime soon. For now, this has been another installment of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Make sure you check us out. Same bat time, same bat channel right here tomorrow. That'll be the Thursday show. And then I'll be back with the wonderful, fantastic, amazing, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Lindsey Crosby. Everyone enjoy your Wednesday and see you next time.